The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
First this morning, Dublin City Council has set aside more than €10 million to refurbish its Wood Quay office building, despite plans to demolish the entire complex and replace it with housing in 2029. Now, yesterday we heard about how poverty and deprivation in the southwest inner city of Dublin is having profound and lifelong impacts on the people who live there. We heard how campaigners have been trying to get funding to make changes. So is this money we're hearing about today wasteful or a necessary evil? I'm joined by Éan Ariardhan, Dublin MEP for the Labour Party. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
It seems really hard to get your head around this, where there's €3 million set aside for the next couple of years to spend on a building that's going to be pulled down. Do you understand it?
It's not a great headline. It's not a great look for the council. But reading into it, it's not money that necessarily is going to be spent. It's money that's been allocated. However, €10 million sounds like a lot for a building that's not going to be in use in 3 years' time. I would say, though, that there's hundreds of workers in there who deserve to work in a safe environment, regardless of the future of the building. And some of the allocations are for, you know, servicing of lifts and fire safety and all that. But I suppose it does bring into sharp focus what we spend money on at council level, a national level. And I think in the context of the report delivered yesterday, I would make the point that there seems to be elements of Irish society, when they scream, they get money thrown at them. But when there's silent screaming going on from the report or the community in Dublin 8, and the report was quite stark, some of the statistics of 4 out of 10 young people not attending secondary school, only 36% of those who are in secondary school progressing to further education, to double the level of national crime and drug rates that are in that area. You would hope that government would look at this and allocate monies accordingly. But the problem is, Claire, for example, we had a campaign for the last 3 years to get monies for the most disadvantaged schools in the country in terms of a DESH Plus scheme. Now, the government did respond. €50 million was allocated, and that's to be welcomed. But it took 3 years. It took 3 years. And I suppose when you look at the issues at hand, it's easy to look at a headline about €10 million from the council, you know, allocated to refurbishment of a building that won't be in use in 3 years' time. But we do have to ask, I mean, more searching questions about how funds are allocated and who gets them and why they get them.
Okay, now just going back to what you said there about people who shout the loudest and who scream the loudest, you're talking about the fuel protesters, right?
Not necessarily, but yes. I'm also talking about the restaurateurs, the hospitality sector, who at the last budget got a VAT cut to the tune of €800 million. Mm-hmm. And we had fuel protesters, you know, the last couple of weeks, who sat in O'Connor Street for a few days, and a package was drummed together over a weekend of €500 million. Now, we can all argue over and back as to what that VAT cut will do for small restaurateurs or people who depend on that assistance from government when it comes to paying their bills and keeping their businesses on the road, literally. However, it is quite obvious to me that government responds to those who have power and don't respond to those who are powerless. And if you have a situation of a geographic location in Dublin, and we hear all about this urban-rural divide. Well, my time in Leinster House, every day you heard about rural Ireland, and that's absolutely justified and needed. But now you have the silent screaming of a community and children who are being completely left behind by the state. And yet there isn't the same clamour from government to throw any sort of a package together to assess these needs. Mm-hmm. And these needs came from a report that was commissioned by Sporting Liberties. Not from a government agency, and that's what's worrying. I don't want to be completely unfair here, Claire, because there was an intervention in the northeastern city, which I'm very familiar with, and it did bring results and resources. But that was as a result.
That came on the back of a crisis of a murderous feud.
Now do we have to wait for a murderous feud to kick off in somewhere like Dublin 8 for monies to be allocated?
I'm minded when I'm listening to you speak about rural Ireland of Leo Varadkar's comments this week, which I know he has since said he went too far on in relation to what he said about urban people or people in the city, certainly on the East Coast, paying for everything, and the rural part of the country getting all of the benefits. You're not agreeing with that, are you? Just to clarify.
Well, I mean, as somebody said over the weekend, there's no national conversation in Ireland that Leo Bradker can't make worse. And I thought his comments were particularly ill-advised, because if we're trying to bring a greater sense of understanding of the nature of life in Ireland, well, then, you know, digging trenches and throwing muck at each other is not particularly productive.
You're not disagreeing with him, though. I mean, you've said it's similar there yourself.
No, I think it's unfair what he said, and I think it doesn't help. I mean, I sat down with the IFA in Brussels the other day, and they were speaking to me about their needs, the reality of life on rural farms, what they're trying to achieve for Ireland, how pro-European they are. And I learned a lot from that conversation, and I hope to have more with them. And, you know, I represent, which is a predominantly urban constituency. However, I do think it's fair to say that we need to be even-handed. And there is a sense that unless you come to a complete and utter crisis in an urban context or a disadvantaged context, which doesn't just have to be in Dublin, by the way, you don't get the resources allocated to you, because the sense is that there's no power there. There's no voting power there. The constituency isn't one that government has to serve. So, you know, this 800 million, which I'm more annoyed about, to be honest, in terms of the VAT reduction, which benefited disproportionately those who have most in that industry, was voted through on a whim, supported by actually Sinn Féin, as it happened. And we were one of the only parties who said this isn't a just allocation of resources. So we can talk about the 10 million from the council. The council will say, look, this is a building that needs a level of put aside in order that our workers can be safe. It does sound excessive to me.
Yeah.
But in the context of the 500 million that was given, you know, overnight, to settle a protest, the 800 million that was given the last budget, which wasn't really necessary in my view, how and when are those really stark issues of children not attending secondary school, not having the capacity to go into third level, of the level of drug crime? We also have, by the way, I might say this, Claire, and I know you want to come back in, we had the announcement from government of effectively a rowing back of progressive drug policy that we have been campaigning for over 10 years in terms of decriminalization of the drug user, going back to the old style drug policy, which was really a tip of the hat to Middle Ireland, if you like, the Middle Ireland, pearl clutching Ireland, I might say, and not the real needs of disadvantaged communities.
Okay.
And that's the real, real issue.
I want to come back to where we started here and Wood Quay and the 10 million, because I get what you say. I think you're being very reasonable about it, saying that they may not spend it. And they have said that. We've asked them for a statement, but they've not come back to us yet. But we do have the statement that they gave to the Irish Independent. They say that these are standard capital reserve provisions for a building of this scale and age, and they're maintained to ensure that the building can continue to operate safely. Right, we get that. But I suppose it is, if you're living in the southwest inner city and you heard that report yesterday, and you don't need to hear a report if you're living there because you'll see it every day, and you think about the flippancy almost, where you can say, well, we've 10 million allocated for a building that's going to be pulled down in 2029 and we mightn't spend it, but it's there anyway. And you don't have a field to kick a ball on, or you don't have a school in your locality where you can see your child going in every day in second level. You have to send them outside of your area, and the likelihood is, given the statistics, that they won't finish secondary school. They're certainly not going on to third level. That's what's going to get people with this 10 million today.
Yeah, and as I said at the beginning, it is a bad look. It's a bad headline. It looks to me like an over-allocation, but I'm trying to be even-handed and realise if you're managing a big building with hundreds of people working in it, it needs to be safe. But you compare that 10 million to other allocations that are given around the city, and you would say that's too much. I wish the council were more forefront in explaining it, and they aren't, and that's a disappointment. And you know, I can't defend it. I do, however, want to defend the right of somebody to work in a building that's safe and secure and all the rest of it. But it does seem excessive. It does seem too much. But I would say that 10 million, and by the way, the city council are the very ones at the front line who are providing housing, providing, trying to provide services, and you know, we'll be dealing with individual citizens in that building at the same time.
We're not talking about the people who work there. People know, you know, if you work in Dublin City Council, you're probably working hard. That's fine. That's a given.
Yeah.
It's more about,
I know, I mean, absolutely.
What people see are the priorities here. And you've said it about the VAT cut, and about the protesters.
Yeah, but what's forgotten is that the VAT cut has been forgotten, and it was 800 million. Mm-hmm. What has been forgotten, I think, possibly not, maybe not forgotten, but certainly it's in the rear view mirror is the 500 million. And I think what we need to do is move beyond maybe, you know, the 10 million from City Council to you know, of an allocation to potentially, you know, keep up the refurbishment of a building that's going to be dead in 3 years, versus a very real silent screaming of a community in which that building sits. And I hope this conversation keeps going, because I would love to see Taoiseach Tánaiste and various different ministers having crisis meetings this weekend over that report. But they won't, because they know that life moves on. The community realise that they've been screaming for a long time, but they're not going to get service. And it's just that not that important to them. And meanwhile, 40% of kids aren't going to secondary school in that area. And you can just imagine the problems that's going to feed into the future.
Mm-hmm. A listener says, what happens when the subsidy for fuel runs out in July? Do the protests start again while Ireland hosts the European leaders for the presidency of Europe? That mightn't be a concern for many people, the EU presidency. I'm sure it is for the authorities and those who have to manage it. But it is something that we might have to expect in July if there isn't money found in the pot again. So the money that we have...
It's not the way to run a country. Well, not, I mean, you need to have...
you could be looking at a doubling of the figure that we've just been talking about this morning.
Yeah, that's no way to run anything. I mean, I think you should use the opportunity between now and July to sit down with the representative bodies, and I say that deliberately, the representative bodies, the democratic representative bodies, and to ensure that there is some kind of a plan into the future as to how we deal with this issue long term. Because, you know, subsidizing fossil fuels, to be honest, is short-term stuff. It gets us out of a hole, but there's no long-term vision about it. And that's what government should be doing. But unfortunately, when it comes to that issue and also the issue of the Southwest inner city, we're just hoping it goes away.
Yeah, but I had your colleague Jed Nash on the programme when we were talking about the fuel protests when they're happening. And I was asking Jed, how do you fix this? Like, how do you get the tractors off the road? What do you do? Like, nobody could go anywhere. So how... other than throwing money at it, could you have solved it?
Well, I speaking to the IFA, actually, as I did this week, and they were insistent that they had warned government that this was bubbling under and that this was on the way, maybe not the scale of it, but certainly the level of discontent in communities was real and was going to go somewhere.
But that just means that you were spending the money before the protests happened. You were spending the money either way.
Yeah, look, I mean, as I said, as Jed said, quite, you know, from the beginning, that the allocation of money to that VAT cut was misspent, that there should have been targeted supports for families and for communities across the country in that budget, that 800 million could be spent on better. I think we need, you know, government needs to listen to people more, and also to provide a vision of a decarbonated future as to where we go into the future, because there is no future in this. There is no future to keep throwing money at fossil fuel subsidies. It just doesn't make any sense on any level. Now, I don't think anybody in government has the bravery to say that, but that's the reality of where we are. The European, you know, Council is coming here for 6 months. That's an important, you know, moment for Ireland. We only get it every 12 or 13 years. So it's important for us to put our best foot forward. But, that, you know, if we're going to be serious about the future, about providing education and employment and fuel and energy for our citizens, it has to be done in a sustainable way.
Okay.
And, you know, in dealing with that protest, if there's a frustration, to my mind, that people sat and blocked roads and got what they wanted in a 500 million package. But I'm sure they will say, why did it take us to have to do that to get government to listen?
Right. Okay, Éanna Whelan, Dublin MEP for the Labour Party. Thank you for joining us. Plenty of messages coming in on this. Keep them coming to our WhatsApp number, 087 1400 106. This one, I'm sure the council tenants living in dangerous buildings falling apart and in absolute squalor because of a lack of maintenance and complete and utter apathy would have something to say about that 10 million euro being sat on to keep civic offices up to code while their children are suffering in damp and mould. And another one, successive governments are well aware of the issues facing the southwest inner city. It was a rapid area back in the early 2000s, one of 10 in the city, but the government ceased that programme, which was designed to address the issues that continue to prevail.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.